The next two speakers are Mara Dionisio and Julian Hanna, and just going to present them swiftly. Mara Dionisio has written a thesis on human-computer interaction. She was a lecturer of informatics and has decided, however, to return to research. Julian Hanna has taught at Lisbon University and British Columbia University and has been teaching also mostly on modern literature, but has recently shifted his focus to interactive digital storytelling. And the two of them are at the MITI, or rather MITI, I think. But what that is, I think they can explain much better than I can. Please.
Hello. We call it MITI, but I'll explain what it means. Valentina, who's many of you have met, is kind of a ghostly presence here, but she's the third on our group of future fabulators at MITI. So we're going to talk, Mara and I are going to talk, we're going to switch off halfway through and talk about the transmedia story project we're working on. This is a bit more of a process-oriented, not very theoretical kind of talk that in some ways comes off of the earlier talks you've been hearing. So this is sort of mind-bending quote. I'll invite your interpretations at the end, but this is where our title came from, about possible futures. So you can be thinking of them while we're talking. So here's the kind of constellation of future fabulators. At MITI, it's focused on developing context-aware transmedia stories and or story at the moment, and our aim is to survey the current landscape of creative media and translate stories of the future and the past into artifacts of the present and kind of unfold the potential of technology and storytelling using tangible narrative. I guess it's not only digital. We're using artifacts, interactive technologies, and future forecasting. So I'd like to start with the who we are and where we are, because the who and the where are directly related to the what that we're doing. So in other words, what we're working on. So this is MITI, our nice little institute. It's quite small and very new. It was created in 2010, not very long ago, in partnership with Carnegie Mellon University in the States and the University of Madeira. And it focuses on human-computer action, design and innovation and entertainment technology and things like that that in my previous life I knew nothing about, but I'm starting to learn after a year. So I'll show just a minute of this video just to kind of give you a little introduction, because it's got catchy music. You can dance if you like. This is actually another project that we were working on with this airport board. This is very cool.
É um pouco estranho ver a reação das pessoas. Eles não sabem que fazemos cá a investigação. Já estive em várias conferências e perguntaram-me como é possível fazer investigação numa terra de turismo.
Se fala muito, sobretudo nos alunos da universidade, da parceria com a Carnegie Mellon. Mas duvido que façam mais mínima ideia de que existe um espaço assim, com todas estas instalações interativas, não é?
It's a very nice place that combines people from different with different nationalities and different places and different cultures, and allows the creation of innovative ideas.
É um conjunto de pessoas um pouco estranhas que gostam de tecnologia, mas também gostam de perceber como é que as pessoas se lidam com tecnologias.
It's like an exclamation point floating in the middle of the Atlantic.
I'll stop with my wife there. I'm describing the institute as an exclamation mark floating in the Atlantic. But anyway, that was just to give you an idea. Because, as I said, the institute and where we are geographically has a lot to do with the kinds of things that we're trying to get going. So it's on this island of Madeira. How many of you have been there? Oh, wow, okay. What am I doing up here then? No, you probably know all about it then. There's not that much to find out. No, there's lots to discover. But it's this lush little island off the coast of Morocco and Portugal. And it's known for all these things like mountains and seafood and flowers and fireworks, of course, the famous fireworks. And it's you'll know if you've been there that there are a lot of old people wandering around coming off the cruise ships. It's sort of a popular stopping off point for cruise ships now. But more historically, pre-1980s, it was an important stopping off point, kind of mid-Atlantic stop off point for crossings to the New World. And for example, Portugal to Brazil. So Darwin stopped there, and Christopher Columbus, and all those characters. Okay, so historically, for centuries actually, it was used as a living lab, Madeira. They brought back plant species, possibly animals, I'm not sure, but mostly plants, from the New World, and then kind of left them in it there to see what would happen and whether they were viable in Europe, mainly. So we kind of tried to incorporate some of this history when we wrote our location-aware story, the living lab, and Miti calls itself a living lab sometimes, and all the other history. One of the seeds of our transmedia story was directly from the first Future Fabulators meeting here in Linz last October, which was the culture is nature scenario, this one up here. It was one of these scenarios, and this was from sessions that were co-designed by Foam and Time's Up, hosted by Maya, I think. I wasn't there, but that's what I hear. It seems to be stuck again. Okay. So in the culture as nature scenario, there was this kind of terrifying, they're always terrifying, it's terrifying, not unrealistic, but terrifying vision of climate chaos. But I think they tried to balance it with attempts at healing the earth. And we tried to kind of graft part of this onto the story in the form of future scenarios or story outcomes. Right now, our transmedia story is very much a work in progress, and it's mostly a story that unfolds in the, mostly a story, a narrative, that unfolds in the real world, so it's kind of heavily here and here, and not very much here or here. The location is important to us because it deals with these local issues and history. But the co-creation and the gaming aspects are so far quite limited. But we are developing and testing mobile apps that we've used on previous experiments and that Mara is going to talk about for the experience and trying to think of ways to get the audience involved in a more active role. So that's one of the things we're wrestling with at the moment. Our story is a portmanteau transmedia story, or that's one term for it. In other words, a single experience told across multiple platforms. And we're hoping to kind of create this location-based, location-aware story with new and traditional media, virtual and physical artifacts, online characters and live actors, fictional and actual locations, and so on. So, as it says here, beyond the screen and into the world. So here's a diagram of our proposal where stories in the past are kind of reflected on in the present, and then the outcome of the experience that the audience goes through kind of generates future outcomes and future scenarios. So let's start with the past, anyway, and then we'll move into the future. One particular aspect of Madeira that we focused on for our story was the UNESCO-protected Loura Silva Forest. Madeira holds actually the largest surviving relic of primary laurel forest, which is a forest type that once covered much of southern Europe. And it was destroyed, of course, like so many things. But that was millions of years ago. It wasn't destroyed any time recently. But now Madeira has the best kind of relic of this kind of forest, and there's a bit on the Canary Islands and the Azores as well. But in Madeira, 90% of the Laura Silva is primary forest, and it still contains this unique environment of plant and animal life, including several endemic species. And here are some real examples of, because we do fictionalize a bit, but here are some real examples of Laura Silva plants used in folk remedies that we are kind of exploring in our story. So you have the laurel oil, you have a kind of Marmulano balm in the middle there, and then these Madeiran blueberries, which I haven't tasted, but they remind me of the Oregon grapes I used to eat growing up in the Pacific Northwest, so I'm not sure, but I'll have to find some. Anyway, our story synopsis. We thought we were very clever. Our heroine's name is Laura Silva. Yeah, I get that. and she's a young Madeiran woman raised by nuns on a remote part of the island. So our story touches on a range of themes like exploitation versus productive, sustainable uses of natural resources. Big things that we're trying to squeeze in there, like Western imperialism and transatlantic trade, including the slave trade, which was going full throttle in 1800, and gender roles and social norms as well. That Laura herself escapes the confines of patriarchal society and its institutions and its surveillance and forced marriage and the tyranny of biology and all those other things to become this self-taught scientific pioneer. So, go Laura. What happened was Laura's mother, Maria, had been sent to the Nuns Valley. It's a real place in the middle of Madeira. You may have been there. When it was discovered that she was pregnant by this young Englishman named Victor, whose family was in the Madeira wine trade. Strangely enough, this featured in the previous presentation as well, the ship and the bottle. But Laura is reunited with Victor, her father, and sails with him to Brazil and back. She has numerous adventures, and then following the deaths of her parents, she ends up alone again, back in Madeira, in the Laura Silva forest. But when she returns to Madeira, the Laura Silva is under attack by the Carvoeiros, who slash and burn the forest, but she kind of pushes deeper into the island and finds refuge on the wild north side. And here she begins to catalog indigenous plant species, working with a sense of increasing urgency as the destruction spreads outward from Funchal, the capital. She creates this vast herbarium, which Darwin will later refer to in his writings, fiction. Then just as the news of her groundbreaking work reaches the outside world, the book vanishes, and here a mystery enters. Laura had been traveling to Funchal to deliver the book, but then she is killed with hundreds of others in the Aluvião, the flood of 1803, and her life's work is lost, or is it? You'll probably be wondering how I got this image from 1803. Can you guess where it comes from? No, more recently. It was actually taken from the last major flood. It's actually quite breathtaking, I think. This was 2010 in Madeira, when the last major flood swept through and destroyed, killed people and destroyed a lot of the island. And they're still cleaning up. So obviously it's still a very topical issue in Madeira. But back to the fictional story, her book is in fact safe and hidden in a private collection, and so it remains for the next two centuries. And the flood is blamed on the rapid deforestation by the Carvoeiros in the hills above Funchal. So the water sweeps down. Now for a brief look at the future scenarios, the possible futures. So in a recent scenario building workshop led by FOAM and held in Madeira last January, when this kind of thing started, the researchers at MITI tried to envision our own future as an institute, and we asked big questions like, why should MITI exist? This is why the who kind of ties in with the story, because we're still sort of forming our own identity and what we should be focusing on as a very small and trying to be innovative institute. So one of the collective desires that kind of emerged from this was for Miti to be an agent of change. And so the goal in this story was to incite real-world change by engaging participants to imagine possible story endings and the future consequences of different scenarios. So we haven't reached the end of our planning on the future scenarios in the transmedia story, but we've got a few ideas. For example, we've been thinking about the fate of Laura Silva's lost herbarium and her treasure trove of samples and sketches and plant species and so on, medicinal information. So here are four possible scenarios: that it remains in the hands of private collectors, that it finds its way into the hands of big pharma or the medical industry, boo, or that it's donated to a research university, or that it's, for example, given to the state in the hope that it will be used as part of a rewilding project to restabilize deforested flood-prone areas with native plant and possibly animal species. We want to encourage our audience to explore the book's possible fates. The book has value as a historical object, but also as a botanical reference, a medicinal resource, and a repository of DNA from undiscovered or extinct plant species. So how will the book's fate impact the island? How will the knowledge be used? These are the questions we're asking of the audience. And for example, will its discovery encourage exploitation or renovation of the island's natural resources, deforest or reforest, and so on? And now I'm going to hand it over to Mara for the experience.
Yay! Okay. So I'll now explain a little bit more in detail the experience itself. So, who are we aiming at? We are aiming at tourists who seek for new ways of exploring Madeira. They somehow need to be familiar with technology. They need to like adventure and treasure hunts, so an adventurous kind of tourism. And also they should be somehow interested in learning Madeira's history. So why tourists? We are trying to push into a different kind of tourism. One that by going through an experience, people can actually learn about the history, but also they can be outside. We want to update new ways for tourists to engage with local nature and also the culture. And eventually, we want to bring the museum experience outside. So in Madeira, people go there for the nature and mainly for the weather and to be outside. So people don't actually go into museums or are interested in the typical museum experience, but which is a pity because Madeira has a lot of history and interesting facts. So we want to like bring this outside to the people and they can still enjoy the weather. Okay, so to play this story, the audience must be willing to explore the streets of Funchal, which is the main city, by discovering the story of Laura Silva and uncovering clues about what happened to her herbarium. So the goal is, by going through the experience, the audience should gain awareness of Madeira Laura Silva florist and how it's important to preserve it. This realization should come from uncovering the story, but also from the future scenarios that the story generates. Okay, so the story follows a pretty typical structure, like Julian was told. So in the beginning, the audience will learn about how Laura came to life, because it has a background story. Then the audience will learn about the childhood of Laura in the nuns' orphanage, and why Laura starts being curious about plants and herbs. Eventually, we will move on into Laura's adolescence in the doctor's house, and when Laura actually starts using the herbal remedies. She will encounter an arranged marriage that she will run away from, and she will then go to discover her biological parents. So she has an adventure in between. Eventually, she comes back to Madeira after Brazil, and Laura struggles with people who are destroying the florist, and she sees that she cannot do anything by herself against that. So she tries to create this herbarium to preserve the species. Then at the end, just before she sends the herbarium to the scientists in London who are very interested in Madeira's fauna, she dies in the alluvium. So this book is somewhere, people don't know where. So the audience has to discover this book. So how are we designing this transmedia experience? We are focusing on a location-based transmedia storytelling, where we want to use a mobile platform. We want to use them also some traditional media, like letters, paintings, or personal diaries. And eventually, this will all come together in where we have this integration of the location with the mobile platform and the physical artifacts. So I will give some examples of how we are trying to design the experience. So imagine this is the map of downtown Funchal, and all of these points are interactions points where people will discover the story. These are still not final, these are just some examples. There might be less, there might be more, so we still haven't finalized. But so the idea is to for the audience to learn about the experience through a journal. A fictional journal that is spread around in the airport, in the cruise ship, whatever, around the town, and it says, flash news, a book, a leaf from an important book was found, and it's up for the audience to discover the rest of the book. So it's basically the government sends this, and they are asking for people to help out to discover the actual book. If people try to decide to engage in the experience, then they will learn how to use the platforms and how to play the story. So let's say that they go to the first interaction point. And here the first interaction point is the municipal theater. And we chose this location because it has a ballroom. And the artifact that they found is actually an audio piece of Maria and Victor, who are Laura's parents. And we can hear in the background some music of a ball while they exchange a conversation. So it's the part where they meet, and then we discover that they are establishing a relationship. So through this audio piece, the audience will learn about these two characters and how do they meet. Eventually, the audience will move on into the other location. So here is it's a viewpoint, and we chose this viewpoint because it has a really nice view over the harbor. And why the harbor? Because in the audio piece, the piece that they will find, it's a video. And we will see Maria reading the goodbye letter that Victor sent to her before leaving the country. So the harbor is the connection point between the goodbye letter and him being leaving. So people can imagine the ship going away. So here the audience will learn that Victor's family doesn't want him to see Maria. So they arrange him to return to England, and eventually they will also learn that Marie is actually pregnant with Laura. Then the audience will move on and go into the water fountain. And why the water fountain? So people back then used to gossip around water fountains. So they will pick up the water and they will start gossiping. So this is what the audience will find. It's actually a gossip from two neighbors of Maria, where they would say, oh, did you heard about Maria? She's away, nobody knows where she is, something happened to her. So what the audience will find out is that she's been sent to the Nans Valley, which is a remote part of the island, to hide her pregnancy. And why? Because the family is bankrupted and they want her to marry this rich man and he cannot find out that she's pregnant. So there's all these different connections between what they found and the locations. They are very deeply related. Then they will eventually move along, la la la, and they will reach the convent of Santa Clara, which is where the nuns would actually raised Laura because her mother had to give her away. So here we would see the book of nuns, because the nuns also have some knowledge about herbs, and that's where Laura comes into contact with the herbs, and she starts asking them, oh, what is that for? Why are you doing that? So this is where she actually starts to learning how to use the herbs and the remedies, based on Laura Silva. Okay, then audience will move on. Okay, and then she will eventually imagine, they will find this old house, which is actually a doctor's house, because then Laura went to live with this family. There was a doctor there. And she actually helps the doctor to cure some of the patients by using her herbal medicine. And here the audience would find actually some medical files, like when the doctor writes down, oh, today I did this intervention, blah, 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 and then you can say, Laura helped me with this specific remedy. So here the audience will learn that she's actually helping others to heal using the herbs. And all these different points will have different media, and the allocation, again, will be very important. Until they reach the end of the experience that where they actually find the book, and this is when they have to decide what to do with this book, and based on that decision, they will generate a future scenario, which, like Julian explained, we still don't know what to do with that future scenario. Okay, so how are we aiming to deliver this experience? Like I said before, we want to use a mobile platform and some physical artifacts. For the mobile platform, we were trying to adapt two previously developed projects, which is the Seven Stories and the Breadcrumbs. And for the physical artifacts, we're thinking on using NFC tags and beacons, and I will explain them later. So the Seven Stories, it was a previously developed experience where basically the audience has to walk around in the streets of Funchal, and they will discover short stories about Funchal. Some of the stories are related among themselves, some others are not. So, but these are isolated stories. Okay, and then how the platform works. So here you can see that this is the app, and then we have so this is in a GPS-enabled phone, and we have the user position, but also the story's position. And then as the user moves along in the street and is near some kind of story, then the phone would vibrate and it will say, oh, you're near a story, and you need to look for this marker. And the marker will be in the place where the story is related to. So for example, there it's related to, it's a story about some neighbors gossiping in the window, and the marker is actually next to the window. Another thing, to see the story, you need to capture the story, because we need to make sure that people are in the right location to make the connection between the story and the location. Then they need to capture the marker, and then the story will play. These are some close-ups. Well, I don't know if you can see it, but the blue dot markers the user position, the S with the white is the stories, and then we have some landmarks just to help people orient themselves. Then this is the marker that they need to look for, and once they capture the marker, the story reveals. Okay, so how are we on adapting the mobile platform? So obviously use this to show the locations where people can discover the story. So the S's will represent all the interaction points, and then we will have the user position helping them to guide. Then we also want to take advantage of the marker recognition system to decode hidden messages in the artifacts. So that marker is recognizable to everyone. It's not like a QR code, which is weird. So for example, imagine a drawing, and then we can make that into a pattern that can be read by the algorithm. So that specific drawing has some extra, it's augmented with some extra media to it. The same thing could happen with a tile on a house. We could use that same pattern to hide some clue about how to discover the next part of the story. Another idea is to integrate it with physical objects. So make our app communicate with NFC tags. So NFC tags is these small thingies that you can glue to artifacts. So for example, let's say it's a bottle, and our captain used to like drinking Madeira wine. So we could attach this to the bottle, and then the users could scan by going to the object, scan it, and then they could retrieve some kind of media that is related to the captain or something like that. So this is the idea, is to integrate the platform with some objects, make people explore with physical things. Okay, the other platform that we also developed previously is called Breadcrumbs. So this has a more social aspect to it, where basically people can live around in the city breadcrumbs, and these breadcrumbs are stories. And I'm gonna show you how this works. Okay, so for this you need to sign up. It's like you have this account. And then once you sign up, you can look around for stories that are near you. So this basically uses this periscope metaphor where you held the phone like this, and you can look around. And as you go around, these bubbles, they will shift to whatever you have near you. So for example, they will show different stories. So these, all of these things are breadcrumbs. And for example, you want to know this specific story is 44 meters away from you. So if you click